Welcome to my website. This is the 26th day of May in the year 2022 from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Thank you for coming to my website. We're going to talk about friendship today. And I'm hard-pressed, but not really, because when a person totally becomes free and unagitated in their psyche, in their mind, they can choose friendships on their level and not friendships on someone else's level. Let me give you a little insight to what I mean. How do we, and I'm speaking about people that have spiritual backgrounds. As a matter of fact, I was just invited not 48 hours ago to participate in a panel discussion of pastors and religious teachers, life coaches, and whatnot. I was asked to appear on the panel, and of course, I am. And it's going to provide for me a tremendous opportunity to talk about my shifting from evangelical malarkey, if you want to, into a more, I don't believe that I'm totally inclusive of everything and everybody, because I would really have to go against some staunch ideologies or belief systems that has formed my way of life. And I'm not ready to cast everything in the fire. You know, it's like a friend of mine, Dan, did that when he found out that there was some malarkey. He trashed the whole thing out. I feel comfortable talking about friends on a friendship level that's beyond where we are. I was invited to an event Sunday, and when I got there, the host was beautiful. The host had the participants take a COVID test, and of course, I tested negative. If I have had COVID, I never knew. I just took my first test last Sunday. I know if I'm ill. I know if I'm, you know. But, and I don't follow the, how can I say it? The fear tactics of the government, because I no longer put my total trust like I did when I was a kid in grade school, when I was drafted into the Army. During that time of my life, I believed in the government. I believed in politics. I believe in the system. And I can say assuredly that I do not believe in that system today. By no means do I put my trust in it. I recently have been listening to a lot of statements from people that have woke up or have been awakened by other people, not to question their belief, but to question with their religion. And I don't like that term religion, because when I use religion, religion is something that man puts together to justify his place. I thought that being, hear me out, okay? I thought that being a member of the church, that I was developing lifetime friendships, only to come to find out that I was totally, utterly deceived, and I deceived myself, even as a grown man. If I had been practical in everything that I did in my professional pastoral life, I would have mentioned, like a dear friend mentioned of mine in a meeting that I was in, and I think he said it adequately. He said, "I'm not your friend because you call me by that title." He said, "In order to be my friend, I would have to invite you into my life." And he made it perfectly clear that he has not invited everyone into his life. When you are in the evangelical church, the idea is that all these Christians are your friends and that you can depend upon them. We used to sing songs like, "What a friend we have in Jesus," you know. "And there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus." And, you know, it's kind of inviting to invite that type of mentality. But really, when it comes time for an acquaintance of yours to, how can I put it, to satisfy that term of being a friend, and if that close camaraderie that, man, you guys, look, I got pictures on old hard drives when I used to have the church people come by my house, my home. They celebrated Christmas with me, Easter, Thanksgiving. I have pictures, people sitting around the main family table, eating a meal with my family. That's the most intimate things that a person can do in friendship. I used to receive invitations from people that would invite me by their house to be with their children, be with their loved ones. I got to tell you now, I practically get no invitations as such. But when I do get the invitations from what I call real friends, I know that they're real friends. You know, here recently I stopped driving, and a friend sent a car for me. I have a few dollars. I could have taken a Lyft, but they said, "Doctor," that's what they call me. They said, "Doc, we're going to send a car for you because we know you don't drive anymore." I tell you, I was with a group of my new friends because I go to spiritual things, and I went to our monthly prayer fellowship. And at the end of it, we were asked to stand up and hold hands and to pray. And I just felt a strong unction to thank God for my friends, all of us male, all of us uniquely different from each other and anyone, but yet friends. And they told me, and it was a wonderful moment, they said, because I told him about my first experience since I got rid of my car, going to the supermarket, and certain markets are closing down in the inner city, and I have to go further out to get food when I go shopping. And one of them said, "Pastor John, you have no business taking an Uber. You should call your friends, and we'll send a car, or we'll come and take you ourselves." It really struck me. You know, I was talking with my brother, Ross. He's going through a difficult time. It's coming that way for me very soon, I think, because I'm up in age. Ross is 75. He'll be 76 next month. And he has to go live with his sons. Now, Ross is up there in age, and he's not as well as I am. And he told me, he says, Junior, it's difficult making these decisions. I said, but you have your sons. And he says that he doesn't feel that secure. And you know what? If you can't feel secure around your family, then who can you feel secure around? I met guys that are like me. I really love being around them. There is no shame in my friendship with you. I think that a lot of friendships fall off the wagon because one person or another person is ashamed of the other person. Well, I can't have friends like that. That's some of the arguments that I have, like when you find out that a good friend of yours is gay. Well, I won't go around him. I don't want to be around him. Why? Because I don't want people to think I'm like, no, see? Especially, listen to me, if you are or were or are a part of an evangelical community, if you're a part of a Christian church, a Christian fellowship, where you supposedly love everybody, you even love, you know, Jesus, the Hallmark man. He said, love those that despitefully use you. Love your enemies. Man, that's why I love reading the Bible. But I've never read the Bible as an evangelical. I've always read the Bible as a lone, independent person seeking to know the mind of God. I believe that there are tons and tons of great stuff in that book. And most of it doesn't even apply to us today, because most of it was written during a time when the people with our mindset did not even exist. And I am of, and I want you to listen to me and listen clearly and quote me right. And that's why it's difficult for a lot of my ex-friends to listen to me because of what I'm about to say. And they know what I'm about to say. There is no way that any one of us can look at, and I'm not talking about every fellowship that opens its doors for Bible study or a sermon or a sing-along and that. I'm not doing that. I am speaking about any facility that opens its doors and it is living in hypocrisy. That facility needs to close down, needs to shut down. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Such a beautiful day, and I've had a beautiful day today. It's just been a fantastic day. I start off in the book of John because I love this book. It's always been a part of me. And not because my name is John, because the book makes so much sense. I recall when I was 15 years old and my grandmother came to live with us. It was during that time that my father was injured in an accident. He was an employee for the city of LA and he was working up in Griffith Park, that land that was donated by old man Griffith. And a tractor trailer broke loose and rolled over on him. So I had to change the Band-Aids and his mother, my grandmother, came to live with us. I was a high school student at Fremont High. And Grandma would ask me to read the Bible. And I said, I don't understand that book. Oh, I remember that. I said, you know, Grandma, I don't understand that book. It just, it sounds funny. That's why when I read the Bible, I'll quote from the New American Standard Version. And maybe, you know, we can pick up a better forte of what the word was saying. So I have the New American Standard Version, and I think it's closer to the Greek. And let me say this, because I went to school in the undergraduate school, regular college, and got a degree in philosophy. I've studied psychology. My minor was sociology when I was working on my bachelor's degree. When I went on to get my master's degree, I went to an astute, one of the most believable graduate schools in the Western Hemisphere, Talbot Theological Seminary. Yes, fundamentalist, evangelical to the hilt. Not many black people went there because I was not satisfied with the way the Bible was being interpreted by uneducated people. So I've always put a premium on a person preparing or equipping himself to be a teacher. That's why later on I became a philosophy instructor and taught philosophy in the junior college system here in the Los Angeles area, West LA College. And then, of course, I ended up in Harvard Junior College. My wife didn't live long enough to see me fulfill that, because she asked me. She challenged me, as a matter of fact. She said, so is that all you're going to do is preach? I said, no, I'll probably use my secular credentials, that's what I call them, to make some money. Well, I had to start doing that when I was getting older and older and changing, thinking for my own and not letting anyone else think for me. I want to tell you now that when you go to my clipped, and I have those four sermons up, the John Tomlinson interview when I was on the showcase, I do not agree as fully as I did back in the day about absolutely everything I said on that. But when it comes to crooked preachers, I do not bite my tongue. I do not believe that pastors should be living like kings and have a court of court jesters justifying their buffoonery. I've never believed in that. I believe that a pastor should be one of the men in the church that lives by example, and he is not rich. As a matter of fact, if he's teaching anything about God to human beings, he will barely make a true living. If you get real with it, I have never begged for money. If you listen to anything that I've said, I've asked, you know, when I was on radio ministry, I've asked the people, I said, if you like what I'm saying, you can send a gift. But if you don't like what I'm saying, or you don't want to send it to me, send it to your grandma, or your auntie, whatever. And I used to tell them, because I believe that God is going to have me sustain, for those of you that are still listening, I used to tell them, God will sustain me until he no longer wants me to speak for him or to acknowledge him like that. I've always been that way. And I was on the internet today, and I heard a man talking about sending hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And I said, well, look at that. The beat goes on. It doesn't stop. It goes on. It doesn't matter. But you know what? I don't think that anyone should charge money for helping anybody live a normative, decent life. Now let's go on to this friendship. Okay, and the best way to do it, because I am not into the Bible as I used to be when I was a young pastor. I would have had an outline detail for you written down and everything like that. And I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the back of my Bible, and I'm going to, here it is. I found the scriptures. Let's look at what a friend is and what friendship is. And I'm using a real book. I'm not using a computer. So if you're waiting to hear whether I'm going to do this quick, no, I'm not. Let me go to a scripture that I am familiar with. Psalms 55 and 13. I'm going to go there. I'm in the concordance part of my Bible right now. And I just looked up friendship. What did I say? Did I say some? And I'm taking my time with it. And if you have one of those books, we'll look it up. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you that when it comes to friendship, God has a completely different modus operandi than religious people who say that they're your friend when you're thinking like them, believing like them, living like them, loving like them, speaking like them. But the minute you are not doing like they think you should, they drop you. Well, that's not a friend I'm talking about. As a matter of fact, I have a lot of scriptures to choose from, but Psalms 55:13. I'm going to turn to that one first. We'll go to that, and we'll see what the Bible says about it. Now, you give me a minute now, because I do not frequent this Bible like I used to anymore. I love reading it when I do, but His Word, God's Word, have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Him. It reads like this: righteousness will go before Him and will make His footsteps. I hope I got that right. Righteousness will go before Him and will make His footsteps unto the way. Now, what does this have to do with friendship? Let me make sure that I have the correct scripture, because that's not going where I thought it would go. Let me go to there. That's Psalms 55. Okay. Psalms 55:13. Oh, I wasn't in some. You know what? I'm sorry. I was in. Oh, my goodness. John, you should have had it set up. No, but this is the way I read the Bible now. I read the Bible for what it has to offer me right now. I'm not going to make up what this means. But it is you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. You see? Now, what is the subject matter about? I think I've went to the scripture in Psalms chapter 55. This is a good chapter to talk about friendship, because it is the prayer for the destruction of the treacherous. In other words, when a person is treacherous towards another person, the natural human response for or towards one human being, towards another, is for the destruction of that human being, especially if you say that you're a friend. You know, you my friend, right? Yeah, okay, well, you got your Bible open to Psalm 55, since you want to study with PJ, and we're talking about friendship, right? And through that little quirk of the misscripture there, you know that I'm not making this up. Let me get my bifocals, because I'm reading from small print, and things have changed. Now, I have nobody's commentary in front of me. This is one man praying for the disillusion of another human being that claimed to be his friend. Give ear to my prayer, O God. I'm starting with verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God. So the person, David, is talking to God. And then he says, and do not hide thyself from my supplication. In other words, he's asking God to give him audience. Listen to what he's about to say. Give heed to me and answer me, for I am restless in my complaint, and I am surely distracted. So here's a human being that is going through normal human basic confusion about what's going on. He's going to talk about it. Let's follow. Verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, that's why he's distraught. What the enemy is saying about him. And quiet is kept. Let's make this personal. What they will say about you. And then he says, because of the pressure of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in anger they bear a grudge against me. Now, I can relate to David, because whenever I was misappropriated, misunderstood, misjudged, they did the same thing to me. Psalm 55 is a living, and I would never preach a sermon to try to defend myself, because I was too busy trying to uplift those folk in that fruitless ministry. Because if you don't believe in something spiritual yourself on your own and become a spiritual person, you're going to start defining this chapter by some doctor of philosophy or theology in the grad school. Look at verse 4. My heart is in anguish within me. So this man is suffering behind what other people have said and have done to him. And the terror of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. Man, look at verse 5. Man, David is in horror. These people can bring it on you. And then it's, and I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest. In other words, this human says, man, I just wish I had some wings like a bird. I could just take off and get the hell away from these people and away from this situation. Then he says in verse 7, behold, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hasten to my place of refuge from the stormy wind and the tempest. See, in other words, he's thinking about the various places that he can go to get rid of these people that he thought was his friends that would do something like this. Okay? And then he says, confuse, O Lord, divide their tongue. See, now, what he does is he doesn't take this into his own hands. This is why he started talking with God. He tells God the way he feels about the situation. And then he asks God to confuse them in verse 9. Confuse, O Lord, divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around, her upon her walls. And iniquity and mischief are in the midst. That sounds just like the church today. Just like the church. See, iniquity is in, man, every time you look up, oh, man, you ought to write a book. You ought to sell your Bible study notes. You ought to make a profit on the Word of God. See how much you can get from teaching it. Yeah, right. And then in verse 11, look what David says. Destruction is in her midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from her streets. This sounds like the city that I live in, the country that I live in. Everybody, listen, everybody's trying to say, oh, help the poor people of Ukraine. Help them up. The Ukrainians are suffering. We send in billions and millions of dollars of armory and stuff like that. Now they're trying to bomb the Russians and all that stuff. And we're doing everything but sending troops. Do you know what we're doing? We're baiting somebody to get back at us, people. We're living in treacherous times. You listen to the spiritual man. When you bait somebody, he's going to get back at you. That wasn't our war. That's Russia's war with the part of the world that they said is theirs. And when you do the research, somebody's lying and somebody's not. Look at verse 12. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. Look what he says in verse 12a. David says, this isn't some stranger coming up against me, kicking me in my butt. This isn't some stranger blackballing my name. I remember when I came out and said, man, I've been gay my whole life. I didn't go around having sex with people and stuff like that. I've always been a very decent human being. I married my lovely wife, married her. God bless us with two beautiful children. I never snuck off with anybody and did anything. If anything happened, it happened through spontaneity, and it wasn't enough for me to wreck my life and wreck anybody else's life. So when you get to a mature age and you say, oh, by the way, I am gay. About 90% of all my friends took a hike. Wait a minute. Look at verse 12. For it was not an enemy who reproaches me. Then I could bear it. You see what David is saying? If it had been, you know, somebody that I didn't know. I'm thinking about one man now. We both work for the same city organization. And I remember he came by to see me years after Lucy had died. And I told him that I was sympathetic towards the LGBT. You know, that man has not spoken to me since. And I baptized him. It is inconceivable. Let me read this verse again. For it was not an enemy who reproaches me. See, I'm telling you, that's why the Bible is a book that I believe in. Because it has stories and things in it that you can really discover what is going on around you. There ain't no enemy that did this. He says, nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. David said, no, it's nothing like that. This isn't, what do you call it? I remember that song, Rebecca Let Me Use His Album. This isn't professional jealousy. No, I'm not talking about that. Not talking about. And David isn't talking about that either. When he says in verse 12, it is the most powerful verse. It says, for it is not an enemy who reproaches me, who does not love me, who does not want to have anything to do with me. And I'm going to help you out. You listen to me. You listen to PJ. I'm your internet pastor. I'm going to tell you like this stuff really is. And so you stop wondering, how come don't nobody want to talk with you and be around you? I belong to a couple of men's groups. And whenever I speak with them, I try to encourage them all the time. Look what it is. Then I could bear it. Right. Right. See, I was a Baptist, so if you're a Methodist, I can see you're going to talk about me because you're trying to defend your denomination. He said, then I could bear it. He said, nor is it one that hates me who has exalted himself against me. And then he says, then I could hide myself from him. He said, all I have to do with people like that is look the other way. Just don't show up at the restaurant that they're eating at. He says, but it is you, a man my equal, my companion, and my familiar friend. You know what Judas did to Jesus? See, this is the prophetic psalm, Psalm 55. I recall in studying this years ago as a young pastor, that everything that happened in the New Testament, when you see this betrayal of Judas Iscariot, this betrayal of the true Hebrew Israelite, Jesus, and he did not look like those white Anglo-looking Jews that are occupying Israel over there today. He looked more like the Palestinians who's trying to etch out a life. So I know what I'm talking about. This book is the book that we have for us to help us if we apply these teachings in the right way. When you look at Psalms 55, and I just went to the concordance in the back of my Bible and looked up friend and went to that psalm. They had about 8 or 9 scriptures there with friendship there. You can pick any word you want. And if you know, listen to me, listen to you, because a lot of you are getting ready to throw the Bible out. No. Throw out religion. Throw out the mega churches. Throw out the rich pastors that have and you don't have. Disassociate yourself with the kind of religious faith that fosters bigotry, because that's what was going on. So I want you to look at this. I want you to look at this with me and feel it. Look what it says. Verse 14, we who had sweet fellowship together. In other words, David said, we went to church together. Man, you find out that the girl likes girls, and she's always liked girls because she's always been, oh, honey, you're going to hell. No, she ain't going nowhere. She should like who she like and not like who she don't like. We are commanded to love one another. But when you look at this poisonous field of so-called religion, of my religion, Christianity, you see some contradictions. He said in verse 14, we who had sweet fellowship together walked in the house of God in the throng. David was saying we went in there on the first Sunday taking communion together, praising God. A preacher friend of mine asked me, did I want him to send me a ticket so that I could, you know, spend a week or so with him. I said, man, I don't want to go nowhere and spend no week with you. I don't need to go and see this humongous thing that you built, which I think, I'm sorry, I may be wrong, which is a monument to himself. I can say that about MacArthurism. That's what Grace Community Church is. It's a monument to John MacArthur himself. When John MacArthur shovels off this mortal coil, when he dies, who's going to take over as pastor of that church and keep it packed? You have to ask yourself the same thing about this doom dome down here, so-called faith dome. That boy can't fill that room up. He doesn't have the charisma to do it. And people are thinking now what they ought to do is turn that into a homeless compound and build some apartments and so people can live cheaper. Now, I won't go as far as to say that I agree with verse 15, what David said. I don't know whether he was speaking angrily. I don't think it's a teaching where he's teaching us that we should wish these things on people. Because if it is like that, that would not be like the Spirit of God that indwells me. But in verse 15, he says, let death come deceitfully upon them. Let them go down alive to Sheol, for evil is in their dwelling, in their midst. So he's praying to God that God kills these people that claim to be his friends. And this is King David. And in the Bible, it says that David was a man after God's own heart. Friendship. Look at verse 16. As for me, I shall call upon God. Now you hitting it, David. Now you hitting it right. Call on God. Don't let what they say and do mess with you, brother. And he says, and the Lord will save me. See, I don't need no friends to save me. But it was nice when I was in the prayer group on Saturday, and I told the guys, and they know I don't drive anymore. And one of the brothers left the meeting and came to my house and picked me up. They had breakfast there. I had a little refreshment to drink and yogurt and had a good time. And I'm going to have some of my friends over to my home on this Friday evening. True friends. True friends. The psalmist goes on in verse 17 and says, evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. In other words, the psalmist is saying, oh, it's going to come back and haunt you what these people have done. And man, I'm going to tell you something. I was looking at a counterpart of mine. He and I were on opposite ends of the camp because he was a charismatic, tongue-speaking, high, super-sensitive Christian, charismatic. And I was the not-speaking-in-tongues Baptist. And when I was on the radio, often I had to contend with him. Now I listen to his work on YouTube, and I think he's doing a masterful job in explaining what happened to the Christian church. His name is Carlton Pearson. Thank God he's still alive. Thank God that he survived. Because, see, this hell thing had gone crazy. You may see some of my old clips and see me saying, you're going to bust hell wide open. If you be killing people and going around messing with people, oh, yes, you're in danger of some kind of eternal retribution. Don't think that you can fool around here and displace the innocent and get away with it. We pick up the sense of that nature in the psalmist here as he goes through this. And keep it in mind, I had no intention on quoting Psalm 55. You saw me just pick it out of the blue because I'm a man of God. I can preach anything from this book. Look at verse 18. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me. God has done that to me. No, I'm not a gay pastor. No, I'm not a straight pastor. I'm a man that has a certain proclivity. I have always had it ever since I was conscious of my life as a human being. I never tried to join an organization to become cured from who I am, for that would make God a liar. God expected me to love him and to procure his righteousness and not the self-righteousness of a defeated, archaic religious system that does nothing but persecute people in its midst. Read Psalm 55 and you know what I'm talking about. All right, look at verse 18 again. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me. David, same here. There's many that strive with me now. And I'm telling you, you tell a person who you really are, and, well, you know, I remember when Lucy died, one of the deacons said, oh, John, you you're a young man and you're still good looking. Don't worry, you'll find another woman. I looked at that man like he was out of his mind. And he said, don't you believe me? He dead now. I didn't say a damn thing to him. I just looked at him. And when I asked the people that knew me, they said, man, we knew you was getting, well, you should have corrected him. Wait a minute. Look at verse 19. God will hear and answer them, even the one who sits enthroned of old, with whom there is no change, and who do not fear God. See, he said God is going to give the payback. Now, for those of you, if you tell your parents, I was speaking with the man Sunday at luncheon, I love the way he came out to his daddy. He said he was a kid in grade school, and he went to his daddy, and he said, Daddy, I like boys. I don't like being around them girls. I like being around boys. And the daddy said, son, that's all right. Go on outside and play. You'll be okay. I said, is that all your daddy said to you? He said, yep. He said, you're going to be all right. Go on outside and play. That was a man who let his son, you know what? I look at these pictures of these basketball players. They had a picture of Magic Johnson and his offspring, his son. And that boy is big, just like his daddy. Big, look just like Magic. You know it's Magic. Another one that you can look at is this basketball player. Man, I forget his name. What's his name? Because I'm not too much on basketball. But I know Magic because, see, he's a Laker. But when you look at their children, and their children are expressing who they are, this is anathema to certain religions. And, of course, we know that in certain countries around the world, you come out like that. Man, you can't come out and say that if you're part of a Muslim family. And some of them families, they would kill you, literally. Try to kill you and then try to get thanksgiving from their God. Look here. Hang around people that are your friends. Hang around people that love you for the beauty, for the art, for the joy that you bring to their lives. Develop friendships not based upon what a person can do for you, but a friendship on how beautiful that person makes you feel. I recall once I was feeling very lonely and a young man called and said, you have any of that good red wine that you like to drink? I said, yeah. I said, but why would you come by here and spend that time with an old man? Know what he told me? Young man, not even 25. He said, if I didn't pick up positive energy from you, why do you think I come by, old man? He said, just shut up and accept the fact that I'm your new friend and I'm coming by. And it was wonderful for me to change the vantage point of what a friendship, you know, that song. I'll end up with that song. We used to say, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. That ain't no lie. No, not one, because if you are a friend like the lowly Jesus, and I don't know why you call him lowly, he's my king, he's my prince, he's my forever dude. Yes, he is. That's why I like reading what he has to say about friendship. Let's see, I got 10 minutes. Let me go on back to that. Thank God that he showed me this Psalms 55, because it is a wonderful, I haven't read that chapter in years, but I never thought that I would have a problem with friendships. Okay, I got one. Let's see. John 15:13. Just turn there with me. I don't know what it's going to say. I've forgotten what it's going to say, but I'm just going there, and we're going to go through it together. You hear them pages? John 15, 13. It says this. I love this. Greater love has no one than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. Now, do you have friends like that? Man, I was telling my friends how rowdy it's getting in the streets, and I said, man, I'm 78 years old, man. They can just, as a matter of fact, I heard about it on the news today. Here in my neighborhood, they knocked some old, no, that was in Chicago. It was a clip that I saw on Facebook that this man was by a service station in one of those little stores that they have, and the youngsters rolled up on him and beat him up and start shedding blood from the man. And a young man had videoed it, had come around to the spot, and he said, you know, I'm young. He said, but this is nuts. This is crazy. This is crazy what they're doing to our senior citizens. And when those men said, John, if you want to, I'm adding this, if you want a half gallon of ice cream or something like that, and, man, you don't have to take no car to no store. Just call one of us, and we'll come by and pick you up. And so you can take care of your needs. That blessed my heart so much. And these are my friends. Do you have friends like that? Especially when you get old. Oh, I have daughters and everything, and if I call them and told them to come by and take me to see it, that's why I'm in prayer for my brother Ross, because see, he's coming to the end of his journey, and his life is getting very perplexed now. He needs somebody to come by and clean up his house. I have a heck of a time just keeping mine clean. If I had my car and he told me that, I would go over there, clean his whole house, and make him a nice lunch and everything. He needs somebody to care for him now. He's 75. Wouldn't it be great if he had friends enough? But my brother was a rough man. And when you treat people bad, well, it's difficult. Friendship. That's all I have to say about it. There's so many scriptures and so many stories. I tell you a story that I love to read. It is a story about Jonathan and David in the Bible, because that was a deep friendship, very deep. It says that they loved each other more than the love of a woman. Yeah, very plain in the language. They were friends. Men can love men in a tremendously strong and determined way. There is no doubt. That's my dog. He sent something. Men can be great friends. There has been great athletes, soldiers during wartime. Don't discount the foxhole, because a lot of friends where, you know, they made friends while in terrible situations. Friends aren't just the guys that grew up the way you grew up, ate the food that you ate, talked the language from the hood that you talk. Friends are like, oh, I often wonder, I heard you, Harcourt. I heard you. Who are you barking at? Friends are like when I went into the Army back in 1965. I'll never forget. His name was Arnold Luber. And Arnold wanted me, after Basics of the Faith, to come to his ranch and spend my 10 days off living with him. And I said, I appreciate that, but I'd rather go home. But we made friends. He was a white cowboy, and I was a black young man from major inner city, that we befriended each other, and he wanted to spend off time with me. True friendship. Look for that kind of friendship, friends. And all this religious bonding, be careful of that. Because the minute you show yourself to think differently about any particular thing, don't forget Psalm chapter 55. God bless you. And thank you for coming to my website. Have a great day.